Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Oh, I can't believe this is happening. Oh, I got to get a grip. I got to tell people. I got to share the news. I got to let them know that, who's going to listen to me, huh? Who's going to listen to me? I mean, it's not like I have any kind of reputation. People don't give me two looks. And I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be the one to talk about angel sighting and Messiah's coming. Okay. No, I just gotta put my manners on. That's it. I put my manners on. I gotta talk right. That's it. And then I gotta clean up. I can do that. I can clean out under my fingernails. There's no hiding this man. Great joy for everyone, because the Savior was born today in Bethlehem. He said we'd recognize him by a very specific sign. He said that baby would be wrapped in cloths and lying in a... And this was the kicker. That baby would be lying in a manger. A Messiah in a feeding trough. Oh. I mean, even my family is better off than that. We didn't have two sticks to rub together, but at least I had a bed to lay my head in when I was a kid. I've been waiting my whole life for this Messiah. Now it seems he may be more like me than I ever thought possible. I think that angel got it wrong. This ain't good news. This is the best news ever.
Can you imagine what those shepherds must have really been feeling on that night that the angel showed up and said what they said? I mean, what if the message from the angel of the Lord that was shared with those shepherds on that very first Christmas night, what if, I mean, think about it, what if it not only was a message to invite them to see something, to see someone in the manger. But what if that message also was spoken to help them overcome something? To overcome something in their life. I mean, what if that message from the angels to those shepherds was to help them overcome their dilemma of joy? Think about that with me. I mean, perhaps the dilemma was indeed to be squelched right from the very start, because God knew something. He knew that those shepherds would immediately begin to second guess themselves, second guess whether or not this good news of great joy really was intended for them as well. Think about that. It's not uncommon for people to feel unworthy or to feel, to use a shepherd word, a little sheepish. Did you catch that? Feel a little sheepish, to feel unworthy when a gift is too good to be true, especially when it's a gift meant for you, meant for them. Think about that for a second. Have you ever received a gift? I mean, one of those gifts that you're just like, wow, I can't believe this is before me. I can't believe so-and-so is putting this in my lap. I can't believe that, as you said, okay, close your eyes, I've got a gift for you, and okay, on three, I'm going to lay it in your lap, I'm going to lay it in your hands, and then open your eyes, and okay, here goes, one, two, three, and you open it, and you're like, a jaw-dropping moment. Have you ever had one of those moments? And you're like, it's not that it was a weird gift, or it's like, oh, thanks, Jell-O, neat. No, it's like, I can't believe you're giving me that gift. It's one of those gifts that just, it stops you in your tracks. It's like, wow, I mean, I love it. I'm flattered that you'd even think about giving this to me. But there's something inside of you that says, no, I can't receive that. That's too much. That's too big. And the giver's going, stop. Yes, I'm giving it to you because I want you to have it. It's my joy to give it to you. Have you ever had one of those moments where you've received that kind of a gift, or you've given that kind of a gift? We were on the receiving end of a kind of gift like that a few years ago. I mean, it was a jaw-dropping moment kind of a gift that we received. Some friends of ours had recently returned from the Holy Land. They came back and they sat down with me, and they were telling me their stories and all the things that God had showed them while they were over in Israel, over in the Holy Land, while they were traveling around. I mean, as I'm sitting there listening, my heart's getting full, just going, wow, you've really experienced something incredible. My heart was filled with joy because their lives were overflowing. And I'm just like, man, that's awesome. They were showing me some pictures and telling me of their travels and the different places that they visited and what it was like and how it's something that they've always wanted to do, and they were able to do it. And I patted them on the back. I prayed with them. I was encouraged for them. And then they went on their way, and I went on my way and did my thing, and they were doing their thing. And then we approached Thanksgiving, and then we went away for Thanksgiving as we usually do and visited some family and came back, and you have your mail stopped, and then you get back and all your mail's there. And we're going through the mail, and I was going through it, and there was a card from this family, and I opened it up, and this family sent me cards before and sent our family cards before, and I'm reading it. Hey, thank you. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving holiday. Hope as you get ready for Christmas that it's a great season. When we met with you, and I'm just reading, okay, wow. When we met with you, the Holy Spirit of God nudged each of us separately in that moment and said, we're supposed to give you and Allison an all-expense-paid trip to the Holy Land so you can go walk where Jesus walk and see it for yourself. So you figure out where you want to go with which group that's going, and when it is, just tell us how much and we'll write the check. And you know what my first thought was? This isn't like a $59.95 trip down to Burleson. We're going to the other side of the world. We can't accept that. And they were like, it's our joy. We were floored. We were blown away. And it so impacted our lives. It continues to impact our lives. And in this story that we're looking at in the Bible today, this Christmas story in the text, God makes sure that one of his angels articulates to the shepherds that this good news of great joy wasn't just for everybody else. It was intended for all the people, including you, shepherd. This is for you too. While you're out in the fields, watching over your flocks at night in Bethlehem. Luke's gospel is where the story is recorded. Would you take your Bible and open up your Bible or turn on your Bible? We're going to look at Luke chapter 2. If you're looking at the Bible in the row in front of you, Luke 2 is on page 857. If you don't have a Bible, come see me when we're finished today, and I'll make sure that you have a Bible to take home with you. Luke chapter 2, an incredible account of the birth of Jesus and the announcement of Jesus and his birth. We'll pick up reading in verse 8. We'll go through verse 20. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it says this, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Man, I'm telling you, it brought the Lord God Almighty great joy to share this joyful news of the advent of the Messiah to the shepherds through the angel. These shepherds, they were the first to hear. They were the first to witness the long-awaited coming of the Christ child. Artists, would you draw for me a picture of those shepherds? What do you think that shepherd looked like that was hearing those words from the Lord? Draw me a picture, or sketch me one, or color me one, and put it out in my board, on my board when we finish this morning. I want to see what you think that scene looks like. You know, God tends to get a kick. He tends to get a kick out of doing things his way, ways that may not always be the way that we would want to do something or that we might envision. Yeah, this is my plan for doing it. God tends to have different plans, higher plans, different ways, higher ways than our ways. The Apostle Paul actually writes about this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 to 31. You can flip there if you want to. It'll also be on the screen. But look what the Apostle Paul writes about the way God uses things and does things in ways that sometimes we don't do things or use things. He says in 1 Corinthians 1, 27 to 31, "But God chose what is foolish in this world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low, what is despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. That scripture is saying, man, God's going to do things in his own way, in his own time. Because if he did it in your way and in your time, you could go, yeah, that's what I always thought. And God's going, no. I'm going to be the one who gets glory here. We're going to do things my way. We're going to do things in my time. And I want you to join me in it. I'm going to get a kick out of this. Watching this unfold, it's going to give me great glory, and it's going to bless your socks off. Just wait. Just follow me. I'm telling you, those shepherds certainly were not boasting. They weren't boasting that they were the ones who rightfully should have been the first to hear this good news of the Messiah's birth, so that they could then go and share with great joy this great news with everybody else. No. I really believe that they likely knew they were living on the lowest rung of society's social ladder, the lowest rung of society's occupational ladder. They perhaps were a little bit self-aware that their culture of that day, they would have said, no shepherds should be first in line for that kind of news. They ought to be the last in line, if at all in line, to hear that kind of good news. Think about it with me. Those shepherds, they were just doing their job. We don't know if they enjoyed their job. We just know they were doing their job. There's something about getting up and going back to work, even if you don't really love your job. There's something about being responsible. And these guys were responsible. They were doing their job like they did every day. It wasn't a glamorous job, nor was it a job that their peers or people in society would have gone, hey, shepherd, all right. No, in first century Jewish society, low rung of the ladder. In fact, being a shepherd in first century Israel, man, that was the bluest of the blue-collar jobs. It was considered the most minimum of the minimum wage-earning jobs. Have you ever heard this saying? It's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it. Man, that would have applied to those shepherds in biblical days. In that culture, and day after day, week after week, month after month, generation after generation in some regards, these shepherds just found themselves in the blood, in the sweat, in the dirt, in the dung that just came with the territory, comes with the job. It's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it. And shepherds, they often stayed together. They often didn't really wander outside of their little shepherd circle. They didn't really associate all the time with others in society. And thus that kind of made them a social outcast of their day. However, these outsiders, they quickly would become insiders when it came to what God was up to, what God was unfolding, the plans that God had for the world. Just on the other side of those hills, I've seen those hills, that incredibly generous couple said, go stand over there and look out and see the hills for yourself. And I did. It's blown my life every since then when I read the scriptures and go, wow, it's just blown my life right out of the water. Because I picture myself seeing those hills, looking up in the same sky. And God's going, just on the other side of those hills, fellas, your life's about to be changed. and their insider status immediately filled them with an emotion of fear. An emotion of fear. Don't glaze over that present emotion in the story. Their response of fear, I believe, is where the Christmas dilemma of joy can be found. Let me show you again. Look back in Luke chapter 2. Look at verses 9 and 10. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great what? Say it with me. Fear. They weren't thinking about it. They weren't contemplating it. They weren't moving toward it. They were filled with it. Great fear in that moment. Verse 10, and the angel said to them, what? Fear not. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great what? Great joy. That will be for whom? All the people. The Lord decided to give these people great joy, and thus had the angel call out their fear right from the start. Men and women, one of the strategies of Satan is to try and flood us with fear when the Lord desires to fill us with His joy. You want to take a snapshot of a truth? There it is. Take a picture of that. Think about that this week. Would you take an out loud note with me on three so we're all engaged here? One, two, three. One of the strategies of Satan is to try and flood us with fear when the Lord desires to fill us with His joy. That is true. That is true. That's true for you. It's true for me. It's true for these shepherds in first century Bethlehem. And Jesus, identifying Himself about 30 years down the line after this night when He was born, He identifies Himself in John chapter 10 as the Good Shepherd. He speaks about this very thing, about one of the strategies of Satan trying to flood us with fear when the Lord desires to fill us with joy. Look what He says in John chapter 10, verses 10 and 11. Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for His sheep." So what does that mean? Here's what that means. That means if we are followers of Jesus, then our enemy, who's our enemy? Our enemy is the evil one. His name is Satan. He's also referred to as the devil. Our enemy knows something. Our enemy knows that he cannot steal our soul. However, he can continue to try to steal our joy. Think about that with me for a second. What that means is, if there's been that point in your life where you've put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, you've called on His name, you've done the ABC prayer, you've admitted that you are a sinner, that He is the Savior, you have believed that He really is the Son of God who died on a cross to pay the penalty for your sin, and you see, call on His name to save you from that sin, ABC, admit, believe, call. Once you've done that, as you call on His name for forgiveness of your sin and salvation of your life, salvation of your soul, what you do in that moment is known as the great exchange. You exchange your sin-filled heart for a new heart. You become not an orphan anymore, but a kid of the King, and He adopts you as His own. And what happens in that moment, you put your faith, hope, and trust in Him. You give Him your life, your heart, your mind, your soul, and He receives that, and nothing can break His grip. Amen. And Satan can't steal your soul, but he can steal your joy. He'll go after it all day, every day. And sometimes we're like the shepherds who find ourselves flooded with fear. And we fall into the trap of the evil one who wants to steal our joy. He can't steal your soul if you put your faith, hope, and trust in him. If you haven't done that, or you're not sure that you've ever done that, in a few moments when we're finished, I'm going to invite you to make sure today. So keep listening if that's you. And I'm just going to encourage you to pray that ABC prayer. In a few minutes, I'll lead you in it, invite you to do it. If you've never shared or prayed that kind of a prayer with the Lord, I'll invite you. It's really not about what you say. It's about what you give, and you give him your heart. But I'll help you if you need to know what to say and what to pray. And if you're not sure, you can make sure today. And I'll lead you in it. I'll invite you to come stand with me at the end of our time, because I'm telling you, you're in a room where this church is filled with people who are for you. They're with you. They'll celebrate that kind of a decision. You can stand with me. We'll sneak right out through that door for a couple of quiet moments just to make sure on a couple of things, and then we'll come back in and continue in our worship before we go. So, man, if that's you, know that I'm going to invite you to do that in a few minutes. But I've got to ask you this question first. If you have already put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, and Satan can't steal your soul, but he can steal your joy, let me just ask you that question. What is it that steals your joy? What does he use to steal your joy? What's one of his tactics to try to steal your joy? Is it the post that you read and you're like, I can't believe they said that about me? And your joy, gone. Maybe it's the bills that greeted you in the mailbox this week, and they're like, overdue? Are you kidding me? I haven't even gotten to Christmas and I've got overdue bills? And your joy just slides right out. Maybe it's the number that flashed when you stood on the scale this morning, and you're like, and you're thinking, Pastor David, I ain't stepping on a scale till January the 2nd, so that one doesn't apply to me. Come back to me in 2019. Yeah. Maybe what steals your joy, maybe it doesn't steal your happiness. See, happiness depends on happenings. Joy is something that's produced in you by the Holy Spirit of God. There's a difference. And Satan still can try to steal that joy. Can't steal your soul, but he can steal your joy. And maybe you're happy when a friend of yours or somebody else gets the good news that you've been waiting on for your own life, but it's happening to everybody else, and you're happy for them, but your joy just got stolen. Or maybe it's the end of the year report or the quarterly report that was down below what you needed, and because it was down, what you needed was to step into retirement, but instead you get to go back to the grind for another year. And it just steals your joy even thinking about that. See, whatever the scenario may be, you have a very real enemy, and I have a very real enemy named Satan or the devil that's doing all he can to steal, kill, and destroy your joy. However, the good news of Christmas reminds us that we have been given a Savior to birth great joy in our hearts, in our lives, inside of us, with the life that leads to abundance unaccompanied by unnecessary fear. Fear is unnecessary. It's not welcome. It's why 365 times, one for every day of the year, in God's word, the command, don't be afraid, is there. Because you're not supposed to fear. The only one we are to fear is the Lord God Almighty himself. And that's not be afraid of him. That's just be reverently in awe of his power. Yeah. And if you, even if you don't always feel like this is good news that's meant for you, maybe for everybody else, but not you, like that gift, I can't, not me, no, you. It's meant for you. It's meant for you. It's meant for you. The joy dilemma is meant to be overcome for you. Look again in verse 10. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be," say it with me, "for all the people." That phrase, "all the people," means you and I. We are included. We're included in this opportunity to experience, not just intellectually give mental assent, but to experience great joy, no matter how you feel about that truth. Just because you may feel differently doesn't make it any less true for you. It doesn't make it any less true that because of what Jesus did in his mission to earth, that fear can be driven away and a fresh start can happen for you today. Even you. That means even if you have declared bankruptcy in your life, this good news of great joy is meant for you, even for you. It means if you've experienced an abortion in your life, this good news is meant for you, even for you. It means that if you're dealing with eating disorders in your life, or you're dealing with cutting yourself, or you've got this impulse to just buy and rack up debt, or you've got this issue of just constantly roasting people and talking bad about people, or whatever else it may be that you're dealing with, be it alcoholism or drug use, or you're dealing with sexual identity confusion, this good news is meant for you. Even for you. Means that if you are addicted to pornography, this good news of great joy is meant for you, even you. Now, please hear me. It doesn't mean that you stay in your sin and you just keep clicking and watching and then erasing your browser history. It doesn't mean that you just keep living in your sin. It means that you admit your sin and you take steps to get help to break out of that sin. And maybe you can't do that on your own. Maybe you need to step in and go, "I need some help. Man, I'll help you. I don't know what I can do, but I can point you in the right direction. I can help hold you accountable. Well, we can get the help that you need." It means you have hope in a Savior who came to break the chains of all that bondage. Whatever your sin addiction, whatever form or manifestation it might be in your life, whether it's online or it's face-to-face in person, or it's some other form that I'm not even describing yet, but you know what it is, and you're going, "Not for me, yeah, for you." Even for you. Don't be afraid of the truth that this joy is meant for you. Amen. Don't be afraid and think it's not meant for you too. It's meant for you too. And if you're sitting there having a conversation in your mind going, "Nuh-uh," that's probably the enemy trying to do what he does best, which is steal your joy. Don't listen to that lie. Listen to the truth. And if you don't hear anything else this morning, hear this. Never be afraid to receive what God intends to give to you. Never be afraid to receive what God intends to give to you. That's what Christmas is about. Something that God intended to give to you. And when you put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, one of the things that's on that list is joy. And while God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, maybe we could pause and remember this Christmas that you're part of that world that he so loved. Yeah, it's about everybody else, but it's also about you. It's about you. It's about me. The good news is that a Savior has been born in Bethlehem for you, for me, for all the people of the world. Nobody gets left out. No matter what rung of the ladder of society you think you're on, everybody gets to be a part of this party. Everybody gets to be a part of receiving this gift. Nobody gets left out. But you got to receive it. May we not only receive the eternity-altering gift of joy and grace from God, but may we also become a people who are very intentional about sharing, pointing other people to this gift, opening our mouths and declaring, this is the good news. It's what the shepherds did. It's what we can do this Christmas. May our only dilemma really be with whom we're going to share this joyous news first.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.